Lord, we stand in your victory. We are crucified with you and resurrected and sit in the heavens together with you. We praise you this evening for your speaking.
Wir möchten diesem Licht auch treu folgen, Herr. Amen. Kolosser 2, Vers 5. Wenn ich auch dem Fleisch nach abwesend bin, bin ich doch im Geist bei euch, freue mich. Freue mich und sehe eure Ordnung und die Festigkeit eures Glaubens an Christus. Schöne Haltung, die der Paulus hier hat. Er freut sich über das, was er hört von Kolosse. Er war nie dort.
He's rejoicing about what he's hearing in Colossae. He has never gone there, but there were some saints who went there or who came from there to him, to Paul, and they testified what had happened there. This worked in me from this morning on. It impressed me. What is being testified if someone goes from our locality, the church in our locality, to another place and reports what he has seen? Is the testimony the order under his headship? This is a good testimony. Paul was rejoicing, and we also could be happy about that. And this word also worked in me this afternoon. And we had this word, heard this word about submission to the younger ones under the older ones, the husbands, the wives under the husbands, and the employees under the bosses. Now I'd like to mention another aspect, and it is shown in Hebrews 13. This aspect is shown in Hebrews 13:17. Here the author says, obey the ones leading you and submit to them, for they watch over your souls as those who will give account, that they may do this with joy and not groaning, for this would be unprofitable to you. This was really interesting how the author expressed it here. We obey to those who lead you. This is an expression of God, the expression of the fact that the head reigns over the body in a practical way, in the person of those who are the leading ones. And this is a nice testimony if we obey those who lead us. Why? Because they are watching over your souls. Those who lead you in your place, in your locality, the old elders, they are watching over your souls. This is a partly quite tiring service, ministry. Be aware of that, to watch over souls. And our obedience to those who are leading us is a really good testimony of God's order in the church. The world does not know that. The more smarter I am to cheat my my boss, the more intelligent I seem to be. But what a testimony in the church. But it's more, it's not just the elders in that locality, but that's all those who bear responsibility in a service, for example. If someone takes the responsibility of someone else, obey those who lead you. And we all know that. This morning we had the example of the parking situation here, right? It became quite practical. Someone stood up and said, please don't park your car there. I had the best argument against that. I want to be on time in the meeting and all the parking spaces are full. So I can make an exception, right? But the writer here, the author, doesn't speak about an exception. Other services, there are saints who are serving with the young ones. The next students' conference is coming, the next young people's conference is coming. There are people who take care of the outward order. When will you go to bed? When will people have to be quiet in the rooms? But also for inner order, they take care. There are brothers who take care, who take the responsibility and tell you, this doesn't work like that. Please don't behave like that. And then you should obey. Not only Paul was happy about that, the Lord would also be happy about that. And all those who build the kingdom together with him, those who are the leading ones, they should give account with joy, not with groaning, but this would be unprofitable to you. It would fall back on you if you cannot obey. If you fail to obey. And the other verse is in Ephesians 5, verse 21. It's just a very small verse that says, being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And this even goes beyond. And please don't get me wrong. Than just subjecting to the older ones. To each other, to one another, means a younger one can be subject to a younger one. And the older one may not be that well proven in fighting and struggling as the young one in that situation. And we can still be subject to each other in the fear of Christ. And I'm really happy that in the churches we have a brotherhood where we can be subject to each other, no matter how old I am, how long I've been in the church life. Maybe there is a young one or another brother and tells me, well, this is not right how you do this. And immediately I start to justify myself. Outwardly or maybe only inwardly. And the Lord speaks right away and says, you repent. He's right. The Lord needs us and uses us to help us to come back into God's order. Paul had such a concern for the saints. He had a struggle for the saints. And this struggle, it can be seen in verse 8. He gives them specific advice. He says, beware. He was an elder . He saw those around him and he said, This I say, that no one may delude you with persuasive speech. This is quite interesting. We are all free here, right? Free persons. Paul says that no one may delude you as with persuasive speech, as spoil. Beware that no one carries you off as spoil. Yeah, that means to rob you. Do you know the one who in his DNA it is to rob people? Who's that? Whose DNA is to rob? Who's the robber? The enemy, the devil. Do you know where it is written?
Johannes 10, verse 10. Lies doch mal bitte zusammen vor.
Read it together in John 10, verse 10. The thief does not come but to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. Amen. The thief does not come but to steal and kill and destroy. If Paul says here, beware that no one carries you off as spoil, he speaks about people. Those who wanted to rob the saints in Colossae, they did not have such an evil intention. They were not just introducing themselves clandestinely and trying to rob someone, bring someone away, but the enemy uses those people to destroy the church of the Lord and to rob people. And we must be aware of that. And when we see what he's referring to here, we see that these are often people who have the same intention. They are talking about philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. In German, you would say just off the track. What does the enemy do here? Let's look into the details of that. The enemy is an angel of light, right? This is what we know, and this is what the word says. And how does he use people here? He starts with philosophy, with intelligence, smartness. These smart thoughts about the universe. Our word in the Bible is the central book of the whole universe, and there are so many smart people who think about the word, who have many ideas about the Bible, but they are completely off the track. And it is important first to unveil that inwardly, first that these are only smart thoughts, and therefore to do this, we need the relationship with the Lord to discern whether, Lord, is that you're speaking or is that just a good thought? It sounds so logical. And it comes even in the context of the word, connected with the word of God. But just off the track, off Christ. Just a little bit aside, and this brings me away from the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ. The internet right now is full, these days is full of explanations of God's word. Each verse ask GPT, what does this verse mean? You get an interpretation of pages long, artificial intelligence. That's the philosophy. What do people say about the Word of God? But brothers and sisters, we are not safe to falling into that trap. We may also fall, but we can say, no, I don't want to be robbed by anyone. And I don't want to be convinced by people, by human beings. Lord, you have to speak to me. Tradition of man. Empty deceit according to the tradition of men. That means we've always been doing that like this, and now we continue to do it like this. Some traditions are so tedious, so ingrained that you don't dare to change something. And it becomes practical. Who sits where in the meeting, for example? Who does what in the church? This may also become a tradition. What did we sing before? What God gave became a tradition, grew to be a tradition. Check with your heart. We come back later on to the shadows. From which routine is it that brings you to the meeting? Well, it is Sunday today. It's tradition of man. On Sunday, I go to the service, so I just go to the meeting like that as well. No, let the Lord call you to go to the meeting. God is happy if his people comes together. We've got free time, and the Lord is calling us. Come to the meeting, whether physically or online. Just separate this time unto the Lord. Be free from all own tradition. I only read one verse every morning. But what if the Lord says, read another one? It doesn't fit into my concept. But the Lord says, I want to say something to you in that second verse. The Lord wants to speak to us, and we will come back to that later on. And then we continue. Empty deceit according to the tradition of man, according to the elements of the world. This talked to me. This also moved me, and I had to meditate on that in my preparation. This is something that can rob people out of the church life. The enemy is the murderer from the beginning. He's the one who robs and who destroys. How does he do that today? Through the elements of the world, through the realm, the kingdom of darkness. We are surrounded by the world, and unconsciously we are influenced by the world, and thoughts enter into our thoughts and into the thoughts of our children, what they hear from school, values that society are promoting. And we know how the parents at home have to fight sometimes. All these discussions about the gender of a person, man and woman is what the Lord says in his word. We were created like that. And what does society say? How do you feel? This is terrible. It's an element of the world that is terribly destroying for a human being. It's not according to Christ. And we can stand against that in prayer. We can struggle for our brothers and sisters. Let's keep a clear stand, a clear position as parents, as serving ones towards the children, the young ones, and as the whole church to stand for the truth, for the pillar and base of the truth. What is this world? Let's look back into the Old Testament. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1,
verse 9, Prediger 1,
Ecclesiastes 1:9.
Der ist der Salomo ist sehr nüchtern. Er sagt,
Solomon is quite sober. He sees that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. In verse 14, it says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. You want to grasp the wind? Have you tried that once? Nothing new under the sun. The earth is rotating around itself. World has rotated once a day around itself, once a year around the sun, and in 2023 we have been at the same point towards the sun as last year, exactly 1 year ago. So new things that have come up in this universe that are boasted so much with, it's just further developed from something old. The latest iPhone, will it be released in fall? Some are waiting for it. When will it come out? Nothing new. Just something further developed. Don't be deceived by that. The latest fashion, the latest movements or waves. You remember the Fridays for Future movement? Today we are laughing about that. It's been 8 years ago, 6 years. Oh, excuse me, 6 years ago. 6 years, that's nothing. And this millennium has had already 24 years. It's 24 years old. So don't be deceived by the elements of the world. That's number one. And number two, that each one of us may have this attitude. Through me, Lord, no element of the world should enter into the church. I don't want to be robbed, and I don't want to be responsible for the fact yet that you are robbed by me bringing an element of the world into the church. It may sound so logical. In the media, some weeks ago, people were discussing strongly whether sermons in the churches, in the state churches, should be written by ChatGPT, or could be written. This is how corrupted our Christian world is right now. It's fallen, a fallen world. ChatGPT and artificial intelligence that takes from public sources a text and makes another text out of it. The Spirit doesn't need that, surely. Surely not. He is building his church, and we don't need any element of the world. let's beware to bring something of our own into the church. Well, I have a good idea how to better gain people and bring them in. This is a good method. These are elements of the world. And sometimes I seek arguments and I want to bring my brother onto my side, and we want to have fellowship with another brother to convince him as well. Let's have fellowship, brother. We tell you something. The world does not do it differently. People look for like-minded people, or you make him like-minded, and then you go to the third person to convince him as well. Brothers and sisters, the Lord doesn't need that. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isn't that wonderful? It's not necessary. We have got the one who, in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we not only have him, but we are also made full in him. This is a truth that can liberate us. We are made full in him who is the head of all rule and authority. He is the head of all rule and all authority. And we may apply this word to us in a simple way. Then, in this way, I don't need to think about how to neutralize these powers and principalities. Some things seem to be so important, so powerful, and I look for arguments, and I do here and there, and I'm getting committed that this power has less power. Sometimes this is political activity. But don't forget, you've got the one that is the head of every power and every authority. I don't need to be busy with all of these rules. We have got someone who's far above all these things. Lord Jesus, each knee has to bow. We've read that, and I can bow today, even today, I can bow down before the one who is the head of all rule and authority. I don't need to struggle so much. It's so relaxing. It relaxes me in my spirit and in my soul. He is the head of all rule and authority. And what does it look like? In practice, in our home meeting in the past weeks, we were reading John, the epistle of John. And there, John writes a very nice sentence. In 1 John 3, verse 8b.
Hierzu, 1. Johannes 3, Vers 8, hierzu ist der Sohn Gottes offenbar geworden, damit die Werke des Teufels auflöse. Auflöse, zu nichts macht.
For this the Son of God was manifested, that he might undo the works of the devil. Bring this to the Lord. Lord, here I see a problem. I see a work of the devil. Lord, undo this work. Sometimes we've got a sensation, and I use this verse quite often when I see that the enemy is attacking in the church life, in my own life, in the church life. I tell the Lord, Lord, you came for that. Now you have to undo now. if I've got the clear sensation that this is a work of the enemy, because it may lead away or astray a person as spoil, then I will have the courage to pray like this. Lord, I don't agree that someone is carried away from the church life. I want to undo this. Lord, you do that. And it's much more powerful if we pray together. And if we pray together in oneness, that the Lord may undo those works. In the past conference, we had this verse in Philippians 3, the last verse from chapter 3. He can subject all things under himself. This is such a Lord is what we have. We have such a Christ. And he should be our reality, should be experienced. I encourage you with such a verse to see what the Lord is doing. The Lord, without my doing, except for in prayer, the Lord starts to undo the knot that seemed to be unsolvable. He starts to solve it, to undo it. And Paul continues to describe what kind of Christ, wonderful Christ we are. In whom also you were circumcised. We were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ, buried together with him in baptism, in whom also you were raised together through the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from among the dead. You were circumcised in him with a circumcision that was not done with hands, not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh when you were buried. This is a precious word. On those who have not been baptized yet, I'd like to encourage you to take this step in a very conscious way. Don't wait too long. Why? Because there is an experience behind this baptism. It's not a tradition of man. I can say I was not baptized into a church to be a member of it, but I was buried together with him. And this way I was made one with the circumcision of Christ. That was not done with hands. When you were buried together with him in baptism. And Paul says it in another place in verse 6. He says we were buried through baptism into death so that we can walk now in the newness of life. That means the victory over the enemy will be made reality through baptism, this step of baptism. When I take this step of baptism, I make myself one with the termination of the rulership of Satan. You remember verse 1, who brought you out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of light. This is my experience when I said I have died and was buried with you and now I resurrected together with you. Then this victory of the Lord becomes our reality. And this is not a word only for those who would like to be baptized by the word to all those who have been baptized yet already. This is not just a truth that I'm writing here somewhere. This refers to my daily life, right? I was crucified with Christ. My opinion was crucified with Christ. My conviction was buried with Christ. And we can come back to that all the time. We don't need to say, well, 40 years ago I got baptized. How about today? Can I say this sentence today? I do no longer live myself. Or do I say, well, at that time that was quite nice, but now I have this and that and that. This is also all right. The Lord brings us into this word because he wants to bring us into this reality. He wants to bring us back to this Christ that we can experience the circumcision of Christ today and tomorrow. If we have got an unclear situation, an argument, situation of argument with your parents, tell the Lord, Lord, I have been crucified with you. No longer I who live. I've been buried with you and I want to experience this reality, to experience this liberty. Someone read Romans 7 these days. It's wonderful. I don't need to serve the flesh anymore. I'm not a debtor to the flesh, Paul says in Romans 8. I was crucified to the flesh.
Paulus geht weiter.
And Paul goes on and says,
das fand ich kostbar. Der Glaube an die Wirkung Gottes. Geschwister, wie oft erfahren wir innerlichen Tod?
The faith, he says, the faith of the operation of God. How often do we experience hardship or sometimes we have problems and then we feel so dead. But believe in resurrection. Now apply your faith and say, Lord Jesus, I confess that I was raised together with you. I believe in the effect of resurrection. I don't need to remain in death. What a liberty. Because this Christ has overcome death. Isn't that wonderful? Christ has overcome the devil and has taken away the power of death from him. But this also depends a lot on my relationship. Do I apply that to me? Do I say, Lord, now you are my resurrection. I feel so bad. I feel so dead. Lord, I apply it for myself, to myself. And this faith depends on my fellowship with the Lord, on my relationship with the Lord, to hear his voice. When the Lord tells you, oh, you're quite dead now, then say, Lord, yes, I come to you. You are the resurrection. His sheep know his voice and hear his voice and follow him. That's what the Lord says in the Gospel of John. And I'd like to share one incident of the Gospels with you that shows quite well how the truth is related to a relationship. The truth is not just to be checkmarked. Oh, now I have learned something new. We heard that already, right? Nothing new under the sun. Don't expect anything new in Revelation. there were the people from Athens who always wanted to hear something new. But the Lord said, I would like you to get to know me. And in Luke chapter 7, there is an incident. Here the Lord spoke to me in this incident, in this story. This is the anointing through a sinner. That's Luke 7 from 36 on. But I just want to read one small sentence together with you. That's verse 40. Verse 39, there is this Pharisee. He thought, oh, well, if he had known what kind of woman that is, if he had known what's going on here, Yuri, does that sound familiar to you? If he knew, well, the Lord knows, right? The Lord knows everything. And here in verse 40, it's so precious how the Lord answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Nothing more. I don't want to say more. Simon, I have something to say to you. Look at me, he may have said. And brothers and sisters, tonight the Lord is calling us in the same way. I call you by your name. He says, Daniel, I have something to tell you. There are several Daniels here, right? The Lord is speaking tonight. We can put our name here. We are getting into situations and we judge them according to our own logic, according to our own philosophy. We judge those things according to the elements of the world. And the Lord says, Luis, I have to tell you something. He says, Timo, I have to tell you something. Listen, Timo. Isn't it nice to listen to the Lord? Like Mary sitting down at his feet and hearing his voice. This strengthens my faith. If I take time with to go to the Lord and let him speak to me, and if he speaks, he always speaks in love. He doesn't want to destroy. We read that a moment ago, that they should have life and should have it abundantly. He speaks personally to each one of us. And your situation is completely different than mine. He speaks into every situation and he speaks so that we come to him and treat things with him where there may be disorder in my heart, where I'm rebellious against the situation. I saw that some months ago. I was fighting inwardly with the situation and it became worse. Something else was added, and I was still rebellious. And then, at the end, there was a corona infection that really blew me out. And then, the Lord told me, Timo, I've got to tell you something. And I said, oh, Lord, okay, I've understood what you meant. He used my wife to tell me what he meant. Don't you think that the Lord wants to tell you something, she said? I said, amen. And I can tell you this was a very, very precious time afterwards. I was standing before the Lord and said, now tell me what is on your heart. Tell me what you want to tell me, where you want to correct me, where I'm too sure of myself, too much convinced of myself that I'm right. but maybe I've passed by you completely. Maybe something was robbed already from me. Maybe from people, maybe from Satan himself. Praise the Lord, that the Lord is speaking to us. It is wonderful that the Lord tells us, I've got to tell you something. Listen in these days, brothers and sisters, to what the Lord has to tell you. And not, oh, well, I hope that the Lord will say something to Andreas this meeting. You listen and you be faithful and obedient. And then my reaction should be, Lord, you want to hear my voice early on, early in the morning. It's precious here. I'd like to come to the end here now, Colossians 2, in these verses. We see that God has prepared everything. Everything. He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all offenses, wiping out the handwriting and ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us. These ordinances were human rules, because, and I cling to them because I need some rules, want some rules, but He has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Paul is quite wise. He shows this Christ again and again. He shows what He has done, what God has done by nailing Him to the cross. And He, this way, He stripped off the powers and principalities, triumphing over them on the cross. And because we have this Christ, let no one, verse 16, therefore judge you in eating and in drinking or in respect of a feast or of a new moon or of Sabbaths. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If I see this Christ, live with this Christ, live in this relationship, and He can speak to me, then I get firm and steadfast. And then I don't need to be judged because of outward things. Then I am protected. We should not be distracted by someone who might tell you something important. What did he mention here? Eating or drinking? With the Colossians, for the Romans, the same. They could eat things and could not eat things. These are elements of the world, eating and drinking. And suddenly someone comes up with a good idea of what to eat and what not to eat. Don't be distracted by that. Don't be judged by that. The church life doesn't need that. This is a feast, a new moon, a Sabbath. These are biblical and spiritual things. Look for in the concordance about new moon. There are many verses about that. It was always a new beginning. It started, every month started with a new moon. And I think we should do it. Someone says, we should do this that way each month, each new moon. It's written in the Bible. And in your own reaction, you may see that we are not protected from that either. The more biblical something is, the more dangerous it is. Why? Because they are a shadow of things to come. And some weeks in Basel, we had fellowship about this shadow. And the Lord really spoke to me, because a shadow is something I cannot demonstrate it so well because there is so much light here. When there is sun tomorrow or in the next days, then have a look at your shadow. It looks like you, like your contours. If it's not too late in the evening when your shadow gets longer and longer, then not. But talk to a shadow. Try to talk to a shadow. There will be no answer, right? And shadow is gone when the sun is gone. In the night there is no shadow. But the person that caused that shadow is still there. And this exposed me. What am I clinging to? What am I clinging to in the church life? Is it the Lord, this wonderful Son of Love? If we stick to Him and seek Him, in each time I go to the meeting, I seek Him. You are gathering together with us, Lord, so I seek You tomorrow morning when you come into the meeting. Lord, tell the Lord, Lord, I want to have You. I want to see You as You are. See Jesus in the heavens. We have sung that hymn, right? Now, Lord Jesus, I want to see You.
Eine so gute Einrichtung wie die Versammlung kann Schatten werden.
Such a good institution as the meeting can become a shadow. Maybe, for example, I say, last year, this and that day, in that meeting, the Lord appeared to me and told me this and that. And then next year, I come back to that thing and I talk about it all the time. And then next year it becomes older and the next year it becomes even older. But the Lord wants to speak afresh to me today. Sing a hymn may be a shadow to you. But it doesn't need to be a shadow because we have Christ. The body is of Christ. That means, in other words, the being, the essence is Christ. That what is characteristic of the meeting, it's not the place, the address in the street where we are meeting, nor the time. Of course, this is the outer framework for our meeting, but the essence of our meeting is the Lord. And this is our wish tonight. We need and want the reality, Christ as the reality. And for this, He has become all-inclusive. For this, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him bodily, and we don't need anything else here. And what I wrote in my outline is that we are pursuing the reality and not the shadow. And it's our responsibility. And when you see someone pursuing a shadow, take him and say, let's repent and go back to the Lord. All at the beginning of the conference, at the very beginning, we said, let's return to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord together and come back. It's easy to tell someone, you should now, and please do this. But sometimes that person doesn't see, or I don't see that I'm pursuing a shadow. But the latest, I'm touching the Lord. I see, oh, this old thing is a shadow. That's why we have each other in the church life. That's why we are in the same locality. Praise the Lord for that. When you see me pursuing a shadow, then invite me and tell me, let's come to the Lord together. Let's touch the Lord. Let's touch the reality. Praise the Lord for the church life. Praise the Lord for our wonderful Christ, in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.